6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. It's another View from the Bland Stands. We are joined by Evan Bland, friend of the program, of the Omaha World Herald. We will get to Evan here shortly. You know, common fans, as the Huskers have only three games left, it's kind of hard to believe. You really want to make the most out of your opportunities to watch Nebraska football. And two of those games are away games. So you might be sitting at your home, your grill's right outside, or your cast iron skillet in the kitchen is right steps away, right? Also, you got a chance to go to the Wisconsin game, home game. You can tailgate there. Whatever it may be, the common denominator that you need for these last three games is certified Piedmontese beef.
Yes.
You can get ground beef for your burgers, for your meatloaf. You can get steaks. You can get beef brats, beef bacon, beef ribs, all kinds of beef. And you just want to soak it in. My son tonight was asking, who is it? Toledo at Central Michigan.
Little Maxion.
Is that tonight? I think that's tonight. And he said, like, as we were sitting down to dinner, he's like, hey guys, anybody watch Toledo at Central Michigan? And I thought, first of all, I thought good parenting. But second of all, it made me realize like we still have some time left. Thanksgiving's over 2 weeks away to just soak in all that college football has to offer, all that's left of the college football season. And what better way to do that than grilling as much certified Piedmontese beef as humanly possible? Or you can put it in the oven or the crock pot or the stovetop, however you want to do it. You can also get to your local Mercado Butcher Shop. There's one in Lincoln, two in Omaha. But if you go to cpbeef.com, you can get 25% any eligible product using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, to get 25%
use it
at cpbeef.com. You can get that delivered to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services built the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We really had a great experience working with their team. They were very responsive and delivered high-quality work. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. They can help improve, redesign, or host your website. One more thing, guys, super exciting. You're going to be able to check this out on the Common Fan website in the days to come. We got socks, people.
Yes.
We've got socks. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see we've got two options right now. One red with black writing, one black with red writing. They say Common Fan at the top, and then there's footballs, and they say GBR for life in them. And they're all over the socks. They look super cool, guys. These are
love me a good pair of socks. Cool. Love me a good pair of socks.
So you can check out the Common Fan website in the days to come for a link to how to buy the socks. But you can also go to Silly's the Silly Socks website, SilliesCo.com, SilliesCo.com. You can get, it's buy two, get one free. The Common Fan socks will be on there. This is what we got for Common Fan socks now, but there are more designs coming. I don't know when exactly, but there will be more cool designs coming for the Common Fan socks. But super exciting, guys. If you use the promo code GBR4Life, that's GBR number four life, all one word, you can get 25% off any sock, not just Common Fan socks, any socks. So you should really check out. They have tons of fun socks at Silly's Socks. The holidays are coming up. These are great for gifts, great for the winter months to keep your feet warm. Just fantastic all the way around. So check out SilliesCo.com, SilliesCo.com. And on your entire order, use the promo code GBR4Life. That's GBR number four, life, all one word. Check it out and make sure to get your Common Fan socks. As of today, these weren't quite up on the website, but it should be a matter of like 24 to 48 hours. So check out, get your Common Fan socks at Silly Socks.
Might I add, wear those to a fall wedding or a football season wedding to send a message that you do not approve.
That's exactly right. We love that, Jeff. Whew, Evan. We're going to send you a pair of socks, Evan. You don't even have to buy your socks. We're going to give you a pair of socks. How about that?
So one clever use of the Nebraska N at the end of common, you know, that's good work.
Yeah. We've had that for a while, but that's okay.
And is that it's hard. I can't tell. Are those like dress socks? Are those athletic socks? Are those ski socks? What kind of socks do we have here?
All of the above, however you want to use them, however you want to wear them. You can wear them whenever, however. These will work for dress socks for sure. I'm not sure people would call them athletic socks necessarily, but
you don't want to go jogging in your Common Fan socks, maybe.
But no. you can. They're but that you,
okay,
common.
Yeah,
but,
those are TJ in a white T-shirt and boxers with socks and loafers on around the house. Socks. That's what you got going right there.
You know, Jeff, you're just a sushi eating elitist, Jeff.
That's Jeff working on his mile run sign.
How's
that going?
There you go.
Yeah. Have you
I ran the other day
gotten
again.
To a mile yet?
Oh, he's still doing it. Fellas.
The angle's feeling better, guys. We're back at it again. You watch out.
Now, those red ones, you don't want to put those in a wash with your whites, or you're going to get some pink. So you got to watch out for that too.
You might want to be careful.
You're right.
Yep.
I always wash them
cold.
Of course cold, Jeff. Why wouldn't you wash them on cold? Yeah, of course cold. Come on. Tap cold or cold cold?
Cold cold.
Cold cold. Always cold cold.
Warm cold? Okay.
No, definitely not. All right, warm, just cold. Check. It's going to bleed if you do warm cold, Jeff. Come on. Evan, how are you? What's going on? So, you know, you get a bye week, Evan, and you're like, hey, maybe it'll slow down a little bit. And suddenly Dana Holgerson's the offensive coordinator. So how's the last week and a half been for you?
Yeah, well, I guess we something.
Just got the news Monday, but still, it started to did you pick up on anything last week before the press conference Monday? Like, did you guys, because obviously Holgerson and Phil Snow were in the house as consultants sort of observing and evaluating the operation. Was there any chatter about that or anything? Like, did you guys pick up on that?
Well, so a week ago, so like 9 or 10 days ago, when Matt Rhule talked about bringing in outside eyes, at that moment when he was talking, we didn't really know. Nobody really knew who was there. And he didn't want to talk about it. And it was kind of brand new. And so this past Monday, it had been pretty widely put out there that it was Phil Snow and Dana Holgerson. But you got to credit Matt Rhule and the tight lips that they've got going on over there, because that did not leak out really to anybody prior. And sometimes national guys will pick up on that sort of stuff too, and nobody did. And so Matt Rhule put it out there, and like, you know, we reported it, of course, and other local media outlets did, but so did the national people. So it was something that Rhule said they kind of figured out pretty early on a week ago. So by the time he mentioned it, it had been like 5 or 6 days since they had named him or appointed him to that role. But so like during that time, I think the thought was pretty like it was a pretty good idea that this could be more than just November. This could be a 2025 thing, and who knows what Holgerson's ambitions are or what his opportunities will be moving forward. But I think it was also kind of the realization that you don't make this move just to get a head start on next year. You're obviously making this move because Nebraska's offense has been averaging barely 18 points a game in Big Ten play, and they still have a lot at stake here in this last quarter of the season. So I think there was speculation that this could be something more, but I mean, I'll tell you what, like I cannot think of another example or another parallel to what Matt Rhule did, bringing in a guy who was not part of the program in any way, shape, or form. He was a offensive consultant for TCU earlier this month, and now he's calling plays for Nebraska, and he's from a much different sort of background in terms of the air raid than what Nebraska's been running. So it's a very unique situation. It's creative. We'll see if it pays off. But you're right, TJ. It was a bye week in name only because there was a whole bunch going on at Nebraska.
So Evan, I know friend of the program Tom Chattel wrote about sort of the 2025 situation, but I want to get to that in a minute. So, I mean, what does Holgerson bring to the table, and like how much of a difference can we really expect him to make late this late in the season? I mean, I think a lot of people probably know by now he's a successful offensive coordinator at multiple stops, all in the college ranks. He was a head coach at both West Virginia and Houston. I mean, he's got a ton of experience. He's sort of a well-known college coach and known as kind of like an offensive guy, right? And has had a lot of success calling plays and coaching offenses. But he rolls in, with his wild hair and his Red Bull, about a week ago. How much can we really expect him to like impact things, and what can he change here?
Yeah, I thought Matt Rhule shed a lot of light on what he's looking for here down the stretch. One thing you mentioned was that Holgerson's a really aggressive play caller because Matt Rhule's not. So he wanted somebody who would kind of make him uncomfortable the other way. And I think that's a good thing, right? Like if you have a strength and if you have a weakness, you want someone else around you who can make up for that. So he feels like that's something. He put a lot on himself about this idea that Nebraska was running too many types of plays and trying to get too many guys onto the field. So how can you narrow that down? I mean, he boiled it down very simply to saying, let's bring in somebody who has no real context of what we've done, but just looks at the tape, looks at what we've, watches a game and identifies, hey, these are the guys that make plays. These are the plays that we do the best. Now let's run those plays with those guys and cut out the rest. So I think what I would expect is there would be a good chunk of the playbook that Nebraska probably just scraps. And Matt Rhule's, he's talked about that previously this season and in the past about this idea of like, you want to improve what you do, but there are certain things that toward that end, you just scrap and say, we're not going to do that anymore. So I would expect them to trim things down a little bit. I would expect them to rotate personnel less than they have. I would expect some greater tempo than we've seen from Nebraska. They've really kind of been that protect the defense style of offense, wanting to chew clock. We've seen them win a lot of time of possession, but there just hasn't been a lot of urgency. I think sometimes with that, you don't have that urgency that comes with it. So I think those are some things that you could see. Again, Nebraska's had less than 2 weeks to incorporate a new play caller. This guy's still learning terminology and kind of figuring this out. So it's very fascinating because it's unprecedented, really, in the modern college football. So how it comes together, I don't know. If it's worth a touchdown, if it's worth a Nebraska victory sometime in these last three games, I think you'll look back and say it was worth doing something different.
It does seem rare. Like I was talking to a buddy at work, and it doesn't seem like this is very commonplace with a lot of programs where you just roll somebody in this late in the season. But for clarification, he's not going to bring in any of like he's not going to be calling his own plays, right? As a common fan, he's probably just going to be working with the plays that Satterfield has at his disposal and just kind of working them his way, so to speak. Because obviously, it'd be tough for an offense to learn a bunch of new plays just coming in this last quarter of the season, right?
They're not running the full air raid, Mike Leach style Texas Tech attack. But I do think you'll see some different formations. And again, like just kind of the what I was saying, I think the tempo, the personnel are going to be areas, the game flow, you know, like one area that Holgorsen's been really good in is red zone offense. And that's been an area of struggle for Nebraska, not just scoring points because they're missing field goals, but getting touchdowns and having an identity when you're inside the 10, right? We've seen that in the last couple of weeks where Nebraska's around the 5, and sometimes they throw on 3 straight plays and they don't get in. Sometimes they run on 3 straight plays and they don't get in. So like figuring out that defense or figuring out that offensive philosophy in those moments, finding a way, you know, the chasing 3 thing has been their mantra all offseason. You know, Matt Rhule, so if we get 10 points better per game these last 3 games, you're going to be in a great spot. So whether they can do that against some of these defenses, particularly Wisconsin and Iowa, remains to be seen. But yeah, this isn't an overhaul, and I think that'll be an interesting conversation for the offseason and moving forward is, mm-hmm. is there a greater philosophical shift? But I think right now it's sort of reminiscent of last year where they had Heinrich Harburg and they went to the option. Like this is kind of the moment in the season where you just figure out who do we have, what's the best thing we can run to get points and try to win games, and that's what they're going to go with.
Right. And it's somewhat like it's one of those things about football. It's like at its core, it's getting the ball to the guys that you know are going to get yards or score touchdowns and make plays. It's really you boil it down, it's not that hard. I mean, it's a simple thing really, right? But sometimes guys just seem to make it so damn difficult. I mean, you look at you think about the air raid offense. You know, I've learned about it for years. Even our guest that we had, Evan, for our Veterans Day episode, our buddy Nick Olson, has always loved air raid concepts. And he even told us the other day on a text, he said, it's really funny, these air raid guys like Holgorsen or Leach or even like Lincoln Riley, you'll see them holding just like a little tiny note card, not some massive play sheet. Because they're like a really limited number of plays. Like they might only have 30 plays, but they're showing it differently in the way they line up in formations and things like that. Like the mesh, I've seen so much about mesh concepts on Twitter the last few days because it's like one of the main things of the air raid offense, right? But hey, it works. I mean, they get guys open all the time running their stuff. So we'll see.
Before I forget, Evan, both of you guys, all you guys. Was it the Red Bull? Was it sugar-free or was it just diesel?
I think he was always... Is he still drinking the Red Bull, Evan? Do you know? He was always... It was like multiple sugar-free Olson? Red Bulls a day. Yeah.
You know, he's not talking this week. Maybe we'll find that out next week. What's his Red Bull situation?
It better be sugar-free, all right? I'm going to know which way the season's going to go.
I'm pretty sure he was. I'm pretty sure he's a sugar-free Red Bull.
I mean, right? I don't know if you Damn still right. go with the fully leaded stuff as a consultant. Maybe you only need that when you're a head coach. I don't know. Well, you know, we're going to have to figure that one out.
All right. Okay.
Evan, didn't Rhule say, he said something like, it was funny because I just checked Twitter and the press conference was just starting. So I was like, oh, I'll watch this for a few minutes. And he literally came in and it was like, he was so matter of fact about it and kind of plain spoken about it. It was like Dana Holgorsen's going to call plays and serve as offensive coordinator for the rest of the season. And I was like, the way he was talking about it was almost like, wait, did I miss something? Has this already been out there? And he's just reaffirming it or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was just so matter of fact. And I think part of him hurt to share that news because of his friend, Marcus Satterfield. And obviously like you're somebody's getting demoted, somebody, and it's probably also sort of a sign for the whole entire program that they're not where they want to be or doing exactly what they want to do. But anyway, at some point in the press conference, I'm pretty sure Rhule said something like, I'm not expecting us to go out and start scoring 50 points a game, but if we could maybe get 15 more a game, you know, that could make a big difference. Didn't he say 15 more? And it's like, you're scoring 18 points a game now. So you think this guy can double your output on offense? Like that feels, that's a high expectation for Mr. Red Bull.
No, it is. I mean, it absolutely is. And like I mentioned, Wisconsin and Iowa have, I believe it's still top 30 scoring defenses right now. So it's not like you're trying to pad your stats anywhere. And USC's had its moments. I mean, it's had some struggles along the way, but that's in LA. And so it won't be easy. But I guess if you believe that can be the case, then you're you know, again, he talks at these pressers so often about his players And I think that's a message to those players saying, like, hey, we believe in your ability. We just, you know, we haven't put you in the best position to succeed. And I know he's put a lot more onus on those players in the last week or two than he has previously. But he was also very hard on himself publicly about, you know, again, running too many offensive plays and not setting him up well. So if you have a guy in Holgorsen who can come in and identify that, then all the better. And I think the thing that I've come to learn a little bit about Holgorsen in the last few days has been at his previous stops. Yeah, he's an air raid guy. Yeah, he's super aggressive. But one thing that he has had a reputation for is being a coach who's good at using the personnel that he has and calling plays to the strength of those guys. And yes. So I think that's the interesting thing about these last three games is like, you're probably going to see some of these things, these changes that we're talking about. But what does that look like in the context of like who Nebraska has? You know, we've seen them get creative with guys like Ja'Cory Barney this year in different ways. I think oftentimes they have maybe not used guys like Thomas Fedoni well. You know, maybe that's a guy who you can look at and put in a more, you know, more likely position to succeed. So that's one thing I'll be watching is like, I think we can identify who the playmakers have been for Nebraska, but can you put them, get them in space, let your playmakers make plays, get it so you're not having to rely on scheme all the time, but where you can rely on your guys, like to just use their abilities, make a man miss, right? See a seam downfield, that sort of thing. So that's been his reputation. Whether he can make that happen at Nebraska in this short of a time after not being around these guys at all remains to be seen. But I think that is the sort of thing that they need to jumpstart this thing.
Evan, what's it looking like for Dylan Raiola to be suited up this weekend and play? It seems like it's a little bit up in the air if he's going to be out there starting on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, in most weeks, that would be the lead news item, right? Like,
right.
Raiola and what's the situation with his back? And that was, funny enough, I mean, that's been a kind of an afterthought this week with everything else going on. But there's some uncertainty there. I mean, Matt Rhule said Monday Raiola was going to try to go Tuesday. So I imagine we'll get more clarity when he talks again on Thursday about what that's like. But he took that hit in the back. You know, as we all know, against UCLA a couple weeks ago and couldn't get him back in because it tightened up on him. So they're getting Harburg ready as well. So I think that's the other really interesting wrinkle to this thing, right? Is like as fascinating as it is just to have Holgorsen come in and that whole conversation, you're doing that while also having quarterback uncertainty. And oh, by the way, these two quarterbacks are very different in their skill sets in terms of a true freshman with a big arm. And a guy in Harburg who's got some experience, but is one of the most dynamic athletes on the team. So, you know, hopefully for Nebraska's sake, they have some clarity on which guy they're game planning with as they're figuring this out. And then if you want to add another wrinkle to this thing, as we mentioned, you know, USC's starting another quarterback themselves this week, making the switch over away from Miller Moss to Jaden Maiava. So, I mean, so many, you talk about like, wild card factors in this game. There's like 20 in this one and they're all major. It makes for a really fascinating game. I have no idea how you would handicap this game if you were a Vegas odds maker this week, because there's so many different variables in play here. But certainly the quarterback spot's one of them.
Absolutely. You hear that, Owens? You hear that, Owens? It's gonna be tough to gamble.
I saw nine. I saw nine was the spread. I don't know. That seems a little high considering USC's struggles, but they played a tough schedule too.
Hey, those guys are experts. I mean, they nail it more often than not. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many unknowns, right? Like it's so hard to say.
Huskers are going to roll into the City of Angels with Kearney, Nebraska native Heinrich Harburg. We're going to run the option up and down the field on those guys, and we're going to beat them for the first time in history. That's what's going to happen. Before we fully pivot to USC, Evan, I wanted to ask, and I know this is probably just a ton of unknowns, but any sense of what this means for 2025? I got the sense in watching the press conference, Rhule seemed to be suggesting he'd love Holgorsen to be back for 2025 in the same role. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's a guy who's been a successful offensive coordinator and head coach. So maybe he'll have opportunities, whatever. But then Mr. Chattel also raised the idea of, you know, if let's say Holgorsen comes back or comes back to Nebraska for 2025 as the OC, are there any other shakeups on the offensive staff? Any kind of thoughts on that or any sense of that yet?
Well, we did learn a few things Monday. Rule did say, as you mentioned, that he would like him to come back in 25. That was notable. We haven't heard that before. The other thing I thought that was interesting that he mentioned about that was he said he looked at what Nick Saban did at Alabama with so many former head coaches that came through as his offensive coordinators over the years and how that was helpful for Saban in the sense that that guy calling plays has been in the pressure seat before. And he was somebody that Saban could talk to as a guy. You know, sometimes it can be lonely at the top as that head coach when you're the one who's accountable for everything. And so being able to talk to somebody else and bounce ideas off of somebody who's been where you are can be valuable. So I thought those two things were interesting. You know, you look at national reports and it does sound like Holgorsen has ambitions for something more than a coordinator at a Power Four school, whether that's returning to a head coach at the college level, maybe going to the NFL. It's kind of unclear what that looks like. And so maybe, you know, we in the local media will have a chance to talk to him next week after the USC game. But then, yeah, I mean, I thought Matt Rhule was very intentional Monday in naming some of his assistants who are still coaching their positions. Satterfield certainly at tight ends, but he was sure to mention Garrett McGuire is still coaching receivers and Donovan Royal is still coaching the offensive line. And, you know, Ed Foley has been a topic of conversation with a lot of fans, and a lot of the special teams metrics would tell you that they've struggled in that area for a second straight year. So, I mean, I think it's all in play. And Matt Rhule's, I mean, he is as transparent of a head coach as you will find in college football. And he said, hey, I made this move in talking about the Holgorsen move. And he said, I'll make more if I need to. And so certainly I think the last three games will inform some of those decisions and what that looks like. But I mean, man, what a statement from Rhule that like he's not messing around. And there were thoughts that, you know, because of his history with Satterfield and their friendship, that maybe he would make the, you know, follow the path that previous coaches have made at Nebraska of not making these moves that need to be made. But there he made the one. And I think that should give people confidence that he's going to be objective as he starts to evaluate, you know, what potential changes need to happen here in December and beyond.
So the only, like, before we pivot to USC, I just have a question. Like, we frame it as like he's making the tough decision. We're putting more of a positive light on it, but I've seen comments on our own YouTube videos, fellas. I'm kind of curious to hear what you say about it. There's a lot of people I think that are hypercritical of this too, that we're not even a season and a half in and we're at the point of, you know, removing people from duties. So while I agree it probably is something that needs to be done, it certainly doesn't shine like a light on the program that we're in a position of good stability. I'm just, especially from the common fans' perspective, are any of you worried about what's going on right now? Make you a little bit nervous?
Do you think it seems desperate?
Kind of, yeah. Like, is this a desperation move, or is this something that we just need to do? This is.
I think it's. I think we mentioned this on a prior pod, but I think it's one of those things where you kind of stop the bleeding, like stop it now before it gets too bad, right? Like, if the offense kept going down the track that they've been on. I don't have a lot of confidence that they win one more game the last three and go to a bowl game. So, yeah, I don't think it's desperate. I think it's aggressive. Okay. And maybe that's just me putting a positive spin on it. But we've, like Evan just said, we've seen it so many times where somebody won't fire an assistant. You know, whether it's Bill Callahan allegedly not wanting to fire Kevin Cosgrove, or you know, Bo Pelini not wanting to fire one of his assistants. So I mean, yeah, it's unprecedented, but like what we've been doing hasn't been working. So
it can't get any worse, right?
Right. So that's the thing. Like, I think you look at it and like, gosh, we can't keep going down this path or risk it getting any worse. Let's do something about it now and try to get one more win, go to a bowl game.
Yeah. I think it's a great question, Jeff. And it's clearly not, it's a sign that things are not going as one would hope. like more than halfway through year two, right? Like in theory, by this point, you've got the culture in place, the foundation in place, you're kind of a well-oiled machine, and you ideally are not having to replace your offensive coordinator. So from that sense, it is a little bit concerning. I think that I agree with everything Matty O said, though. Like, it's necessary. It's kind of become pretty obvious throughout the course of conference play that it's necessary. And nothing in Satterfield's history suggests that it will get better. And I, you know, I think it's another sign that Rule, as we've talked about many times on this program and guests have told us, he doesn't stand pat. Like, he's going to turn over every rock until he gets this right, whatever it might be. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see more changes in the offseason. But Evan, it made me think of one thing you said to us when we were having the apathy conversation. And we were kind of talking about how that's really, to date, has proven it's kind of impossible for the Husker fan base because something always happens. They get more recruits, more transfers, new coaches in the offseason, whatever. And this, like, even in season here, I think everyone's frustrated. Three losses in a row, a couple wins kind of felt like they slipped through our fingertips. Suddenly we got something to believe in again, right?
And that's right.
And that's, and but it does bring hope. Like, if he can bring, if he can, a touchdown more per game wins you, you know, a couple of the games that we, you know, that wins you,
right?
Yeah. Well, and a touchdown more over the course of four quarters wins you Illinois and Ohio State, and, you know, but for a missed extra point would have won UCLA too.
Yeah. Well,
that's, that's a little overly simplified, but
also there's the Dylan Raiola factor. Like, we have a generational five-star quarterback, true freshman. And I think you want to take advantage of that, right? As long as you have this guy, and you probably want him to have somebody calling plays that has had pretty dynamic quarterbacks before slinging the ball around. And Holgerson's had that. I mean, he's, you can go and you can look up the list of names. I mean, some of them, like Geno Smith, still playing in the NFL. I remember Will Greer for West Virginia, very, very good. So you want somebody that's had experience working with dynamic quarterbacks that can maybe, you know, maybe he, a tweak here and there, and he just gets Dylan to kind of settle down and hit his reads more. I don't know, maybe, but that's part of it too. I think it's like, hey, we've got this five-star quarterback. These don't come around very often.
Right.
We've got a short window, maybe 3 seasons if we're lucky with this kid, and let's take advantage and do something now.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I think that's all true. And the other thing I'd say about Rule, to kind of circle back to what you're saying too, Jeff, is like, I think Rule is as self-aware of a head coach of anyone that I can think of. I think that's a gift. Like, that's not something everybody has. Like, I think many previous head coaches at Nebraska got too in the weeds on things. They got so tunnel visioned that, like, and I think I've said this on here before, it was almost like they needed like a common fan just to tap them on the shoulder and be like, why don't you consider this? Like, this kind of thing that seems sort of obvious to an outsider. And they were so, you know, again, either in their own heads or stubborn, right? Like, convicted to the point of stubbornness, that they wouldn't make the change. And I think Rule has shown just that self-awareness to have a big picture. Like, he can be involved. He can go coach the scout team and talk about the nitty-gritty of defensive alignment, but he can also zoom out and talk about trends in college football and about strategy, like big picture stuff. So I think his awareness and ability to react quickly when things relatively quickly, when things haven't gone well with the offense, and recognize in the moment that there is a lot to play for in these last three games. Like, there is, it's hugely important to get to a bowl game and to have those practices and to show that tangible progress and to give some excitement for December, when you're going to have a ton of turnover in terms of the portal and roster stuff. He recognizes all that in the moment. And this is a move that I think a lot of people on the outside that maybe just watch the games on Saturday are like, why don't they let someone else call plays? Like, it's just not working. And he does that. And I think there's an immense credit there. But with that comes risk, because as we said, this is unprecedented. really in modern college football. We don't know how it's going to work out, but I think if nothing else, it's something fans can relate to because you have a head coach who feels the urgency at the level that the fan base does.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if one of us was there to just tap him on the shoulder, like during pre hey, coach, I got a little something for you here. You got an idea here.
Billy G option pass, coach.
Go for it. Hail Mary play.
If
Every
Harburg's
time.
starting on Saturday,
Never punt.
Billy
Don't
G
punt.
option pass.
Yep. Never punt.
There's something to it. I think that's true in a lot of walks of life. Like, I don't know if you guys ever feel that way. Sometimes I get so like zoned in on whatever I'm doing at work that like I don't see the big picture, every time in the moment. Like, I just
Yeah.
think that's in life, that's a really valuable trait to have, and not everybody has it.
Touche.
Absolutely.
Or just like I that's a great example, Evan, or I'll have something happen where I'm like, only after the fact do I realize I've seen this before. I've dealt with this before. Like, why didn't I address
Yeah.
it? Why didn't I, whatever it might be. Like, you just need a little bit of a reminder sometimes, or a fresh set of eyes of like, hey, I know what I'm doing here, but I need somebody else to give me their read on it, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about USC, Evan. You wrote about kind of Lincoln Riley. Sounded like he was on the USC show, his weekly show or whatever it was, kind of answering questions about Nebraska. And Riley and Holgorsen coached together, is that right?
Yeah, they kind of started their careers at Texas Tech under Mike Leach. They were together from
The
0
Pirate.
from 03 to 07. Lincoln Riley came on as a 20-year-old student assistant. Lincoln Riley was an inside receivers coach, or I'm sorry, Holgorsen was an inside receivers coach who ascended to offensive coordinator in that time. And then over the, last decade or so, they matched up a number of times in the Big 12 with Riley as the OC at Oklahoma, and then taking over as the head coach, and then Holgorsen at West Virginia, and even at Houston down the line after that. And Riley always got the better of him, and I think a lot of that has to do with where OU was as a program compared to where Holgorsen's teams were. But it's just kind of funny, like it's a reminder that of how small really like the coaching fraternity is, to where Nebraska brings in this guy who had no real connection to the program outside of 2 weeks ago, and the team that they're playing right away, their head coach has like an intimate history with him, coaching with him, coaching against him, knowing his schemes. It's like,
Great.
like I don't know how much that's going to be worth. Riley's more of an offensive guy and what have you, but it's fascinating, like that they would immediately have that kind of history, and there are these just connections that we weren't even thinking about a week ago, and here it is. For this USC game. So I think it goes back. It was a reminder listening to Lincoln Riley about, like, I mean, imagine being a coach this week and you're just like, well, I guess we're watching a bunch of Dana Holgorsen stuff and all the things that we did to prepare for Nebraska in the offseason. You can throw that out. And Matt Rhule on the other side's talking about watching UNLV tape to watch a new quarterback. And like, it's just, you can do all this offseason preparation and then you get to November and these money games.
Yeah.
It's totally different. So
That's
like I think
awesome.
that it's just so funny how that goes sometimes.
It's great. I think it's awesome.
sounds like a USC plant to me. There's something fishy going on here. I
Oh,
think
here
they
we
sent
go.
Holgers in here. This has CFIC fingerprints all over it, if you ask me.
Okay.
Jeff, I mean, the college football industrial complex is actively working against Nebraska, but that feels like a bit of a stretch.
Oh, please. That's a reach. That's a reach for you
Yeah,
guys.
that's a reach. Yeah, buddy.
That Lincoln Riley's in on it.
You've seen too
Matt
many movies
Holgorsen.
and read too many comic books.
That's where you need
Okay.
those fresh eyes to come in and be like, I don't
See,
know.
coach is just, I don't know if this is a good idea, Matt. Something's
Not
off
sure
here.
about I'm not sure about
Coach,
that
I don't trust
theory.
this guy. I don't trust this guy, Coach Rule.
He's not drinking sugar-free Red Bull. He's drinking diesel. Something's off here.
Evan, what else did Riley say about Nebraska?
He talked a little bit about Dylan Raiola. I think if anyone that remembers his recruiting process recalls that USC was a finalist for him. I mean, yeah, he was committed to Ohio State and Georgia, but USC was that other team that was there throughout a lot of his process. And there was that idea that Lincoln Riley, I mean, he's coached multiple NFL starters at this point. And so he was viewed as a threat at that time. He kind of downplayed it and his availability, but he praised his arm and the success that he's had as a true freshman against Big Ten defenses. And I think the other, he's very complimentary of the program in general. He's coached against the Huskers a couple of different times when they played Oklahoma a few years ago, and he kind of had that sentiment that you occasionally hear from guys our age about this idea that college football's more fun when Nebraska's good and when you have this kind of historic brand that's nationally relevant. So, that's what he said. I take him at his word. I think he was a guy who grew up in Texas and was aware of what Nebraska was doing in the Big 8 and the Big 12 days. So, a guy who I think respects what the Huskers have done. He's coached against Matt Rhule when Rhule was at Baylor. He beat his Baylor team four times, including that Big 12 championship in 2019. That was a top 10 matchup. That was a great game that came right down to the finish. So just a lot of paths that were crossed occasionally, and nothing too spicy, I guess, but just a lot of acknowledgement, I think, of what the program's done and maybe what it could be moving forward.
Yeah, it probably wasn't anything. It probably wasn't anything. But the way I read it, I was feeling defensive because it sounded like he was saying,
Oh, sure.
it's a program, it's a program, it's a good name, good program, good fans. But it's something about how they, I don't think he used the words fallen on hard times, but they've been down recently and they're trying to get it turned around. And like in my mind, I'm like, you're 4-5, buddy. Who are you, pal? You inherited the keys to dad's Corvette at Oklahoma, and you've taken USC and only made it worse, buddy. So why don't you watch what you're saying? But I don't really think that's what he was saying. I think he was mostly respectful of our Nebraska's history and tradition, and even said it would be nice if it would be good for college football if Nebraska got back. But he's dead to me.
Incidentally, Oklahoma's not doing really any better with
No.
him. I don't think
Yeah.
that's hurting his feelings too much either. Conference changes are hard, man.
Yeah, they
USC and the
are.
Big Ten,
We
Oklahoma
know.
and the SEC. Certainly Nebraska's felt that. Like it's tough. You gotta learn all these new teams and how you win in a league and the weather and all and just the logistical stuff. Like it's tough. Riley's feeling it too. They lost to Maryland. They went to Maryland and lost. Like that's they're feeling it for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I'm just nervous about it. Feels like running quarterbacks have been Nebraska's kryptonite for most of the post-Osborne era. And it makes me really, really nervous.
Do you know what the do you know what kryptonite is, TJ? Do you know what the I'm just curious. You're just throwing around comic book words here, and I don't feel like you're a big comic book guy.
I mean, it's
I know,
Superman. Everybody knows
I know
Superman.
about Superman, Jeff.
Okay, I'm just
Okay.
checking. I just want to make
Yes.
sure. Don't
Now,
recklessly throw around comic book stuff without knowing your facts, all right?
I didn't read the comic books. I just watched the Christopher Reeve movies growing up. I
Yeah.
will say that.
Gene
Yeah,
Hackman as
right.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
Classic. I mean, you
it's
can't beat
pretty
it.
good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's true.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank
Yeah,
you.
you're welcome.
Thanks for interjecting there.
But no, I mean
That's
you're
it.
right. The mobile quarterback thing's very real, but and he was a highly recruited player out of the portal, by the way. Like most of your top programs were after him. He ended up at USC, didn't win the battle against Miller Moss in fall camp, but Moss has been pretty turnover prone, and so this is he's good, but he wasn't starting until now. So just throw that into the bowl of unknowns that we've got going on at the LA Coliseum.
Well, you just kind of, we've talked about this before. I'm excited to get to the point where we don't care who we play. We don't care what kind of hot streak they're on because we're so good. We're confident we're going to win anyway. But right now, what I'm hoping is USC's having their own identity crisis. And, the team's kind of checked out, maybe even given up on the year. And we can just go into the Coliseum and, not that we can't beat them at their best. I'm not suggesting that, but I'll take any help we can get.
Yes.
Touche.
Yeah, whatever it
Yeah.
takes.
I think ideally, if you're trying to find the best case scenario for Nebraska, they maybe USC would have maybe waited a week to make this move at quarterback. But hey, this is what the fourth team in a row that Nebraska's faced that's coming off a bye.
Great.
So that's another thing. That doesn't add to it. That can fuel the conspiracy theory stuff.
That's fishy. That's fishy.
Yeah, there's something going on here scheduling wise, guys. I'm telling you right now, I don't like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I don't know. So, how about you? Like, as you guys are watching these games, so it's USC, Wisconsin, and Iowa. They lost 10 in a row to Wisconsin. The Iowa struggles. They won one game in the last 10 years as well. How would you guys rank your preference for, like, if Nebraska can get just one of these last three, which one would you, where does USC fit into that? How do you guys break that down?
If it's only one,
that's a phenomenal question, Evan.
Yeah. If it's only one, and I could pick which one,
yeah,
I'd want it to be Iowa, but I also don't want to be 5-6 going into that game. So it's a trick. That's the tricky part of it. But then also it's senior day against Wisconsin. There's a lot of guys that have been here a long time. I'd like to see them go out a winner. I don't know. I don't care which one they win. I just want them to win.
It's a tough one because, like, clearly home games don't matter. The home field advantage thing doesn't matter anymore. There's so many. We just came off a loss at home. It doesn't matter. We lose at home all the time.
I still think it matters.
Yeah, it does not matter. USC. There's too many unknowns. I have no idea, to be honest with you. But if I chose one, maybe because there's so many unknowns, USC is probably our best shot, I think, right now.
No, the question, Jeff, which one you would want, though?
What I would want?
I would want
us to beat USC because I hate them so much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is it your Notre Dame fandom coming in here?
That has nothing to do with it. I'm coming in as an impartial advisor.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just checking. That's okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I feel like it's like Iowa's 1A and Wisconsin's 1B. Like, I feel like if we go into Iowa City already bowl eligible, even though I've said this before, if we end the year at 6-6, like when the dust settles and we look back at the season, people will say that's a disappointment. However, we'll all be thrilled with the bowl game. We're all on board with just getting that sixth win and getting to a bowl game. So if we go into Iowa City at 6-5, we know we're bowl eligible and we put up a good fight and we lose, it will hurt and it will suck, but it'll suck a little bit less since we're going to our first bowl game in almost a decade. But having said that, like, yeah, I think if I had to pick one, it's got to be Iowa, but closely followed by Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I felt like Wisconsin would be our main rival coming into the Big Ten. Like, we had some shared history there with the Barry Alvarez thing and all that. And they were we were both top 25 programs when we came into the conference. And it just felt like we were going to be playing awesome games against them for years to come. And they've dominated the series so much that it's kind of like they don't even think about it anymore. They don't even care. Whereas, like, for whatever reason, I mean, Iowa's obviously, we've won a few more against Iowa, but they've been pretty successful in recent years. But we just hate them so much more, and Iowa hates us so much more. And, like, Iowa's got to be number one, I think. And we've talked about this before too. Like, I think that is our rival, right? As in 2024, that's really our main rival. I dare not even say it, but imagine winning both those games, boys.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me
that you guys would say Iowa. Is it because of the rivalry thing? Like, you guys hate them the most? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah.
Unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Go ahead, Matt. I've seen it. And it's
No, I just
Jeff,
just,
why don't you have a cigarette while you lecture us on health, Jeff?
Yeah, huh? Jeff.
How does that sound?
Why don't you go run a mile, Jeff?
Maybe I will after this.
Yeah. You know, it's a family friendly program for the kids watching. Jeff's quit smoking. He overcame that battle, did a great job, and it's been years.
Yeah, we're proud of you, Jeff.
It's been years.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's Iowa just because of the rivalry thing and the hatred for me, a personal hatred.
Let me tell you why it's Iowa, Evan. And this is the same reason that it has turned into a rivalry. And it is because Nebraska fans will never acknowledge, because they don't believe, they will never acknowledge that Iowa is better than us in football. No, like they're not a better program. And I'm saying this as fact. They're not a better program. Historically, they're not a better program. They're not a blue blood. Nebraska is the better program. We've fallen on some hard times. We've lost a few games, several of which we should have won. And that's, like, infuriating for Husker fans. But I think, like, that's part of the reason it's turned into a rival. And then Iowa fans, I think, see that. And they just, it's like little brother just relishing in beating big brother on the basketball court and, or, you know, in the driveway. And they like see Nebraska's arrogance. And let's be honest, just over the last 8 or 9 years, probably since 2015, when Kirk figured something out, they have had more success. I'm not even going to say they've been the better program, but they've had more success. Just program wide, not even setting Nebraska aside. And so I think that like Nebraskans will never ever believe that like Iowa's better. And Iowa, you know, has kind of owned the series, obviously, for the last 8 or 9 years. And so they love like rubbing that in Nebraska's face. And so like it's just this constant, like, you see these, I have to set the phone down sometimes because the fights on Twitter are so obnoxious, but then I find myself like getting worked up by them too.
TJ, you're clearly getting worked up right now. All right. Just calm down. Maybe you should smoke a cigarette and chill
maybe
out.
Maybe you know, that sounds pretty good, Jeff. Maybe I will.
Well, let me give you my counterpoint. I think it's Wisconsin. I think of the three, like you got to beat Wisconsin, because if you lose to USC, I think people would be disappointed, but you'd be like, okay, you're going to USC. It's tough to win on the West Coast, et cetera.
They're probably better than their 4-5 record.
I mean,
they have a ton of talent. They've kind of screwed the pooch late in some games, but yeah, go ahead.
For sure. If you lose to Iowa, I know people don't love Iowa, but you know what? Right now they're 6-4. Like, you're not going to make or break their season one way or the other at this point. Like, they're kind of upset at what's gone on. They're going to have some change. They played their fifth string quarterback at UCLA last week.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has beat Nebraska 10 times in a row. They're very much in the middle of their Bill Callahan experiment, going away from their identity, trying to change who they are under Luke Fickell. This is a team that plays number one Oregon this weekend, and then will be coming to Lincoln, still probably on 5 wins. And there's a good chance that if they don't beat Nebraska, they don't go to a bowl game. So not only could Nebraska snap a streak against Wisconsin, become bowl eligible, but they could start a drought for Wisconsin. I think they've got, it's like 20 years or something like that, that they have gone to a bowl game. So if there's ever a time you're going to beat that team, like it needs to be this year. Like, quite honestly, that's a team that's just spinning its wheels. And so, I don't know. For me, it's a home game. You can celebrate that breakthrough in front of your home crowd. I think they'll be favored in that game, probably. You got to beat them. Like, I think that's the one that you know would be really fulfilling for Nebraska, but also could really deal some misery to that team on the other side that's been such a thorn for a long time.
All of that sounds thoroughly satisfying.
It
sounds glorious.
Very much so.
Evan coming in with a rational thought. Everybody else coming in with blind hatred.
I love it. I mean, I love the Iowa stuff. Like,
yeah, I hate. I think I hate there's Wisconsin this debate.
There's this debate. Like, I think there's still this thought, like, is the Iowa hatred real, or is that kind of still manufactured? Because, you know, but I'm glad to hear it. Like, that this thing has got some, like, organic emotion to it. And it's not, you know, the Heroes Trophy and corporate stuff. But, like, it's actually kind of conjured some stuff up.
Well, I think it started out as very forced and manufactured, but it turned into an actual rivalry.
It's turned into a rivalry when they started beating us.
Right.
Like, we, you know, we won three out of the first four. Yeah, exactly. And then they, Well, I blame Mike Riley.
USC still sucks. Yeah. You guys can hate all you want. I hate USC.
I think they're probably just going to win out, guys. Everybody knows that.
That'd be fine. Right?
Holgorsen's going to be responsible for 15 more points a game. The defense going to have some things figured out. We're just going to win out. It'll be 8-4. It's going to be incredible.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
It's going to be so
bold
great.
Strategy.
Can't believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be so great when it happens. It's going to be unbelievable. Wow. Great conversation, guys. Evan, when do you leave for LA? We talked about this, but I don't think we were recording yet, right? When
do you leave for LA? Friday afternoon, midday, direct flight.
You pumped for that?
What airline's got the direct flight out of Omaha?
Out of Omaha, I think it's United, I believe.
Right in LAX there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get in Friday afternoon.
Does the media corps have big plans to hit the town in La La Land?
Woo!
Well, one Tom Chattel is a California. He grew up in San Diego, so he's a big California guy. He's going out early, so he might show us a few things. I don't know if we're gonna go to the
Oh,
beach or the pier or the boardwalk or whatever. But I've never been to LA, so this is
that's
not
exciting.
Bloomington, Indiana, or West Lafayette, or whatever. So this will be fun. This is actually a place I've not been to the Coliseum before. So this will mean Big Ten school 15 out of the other 17 that I haven't been to. So I
Wow,
just
lovely.
Washington and UCLA after this one. So it'll be fun to cross it
That's
off.
awesome.
Yeah, and you'll crank
Good for
out
you.
UCLA next year, and then Washington should be pretty soon after that.
I think it's
26
26 maybe.
or
Don't remember
27?
for
Yeah.
sure. 27 might be 27, but yeah, so it'll be fun. And then come home, we'll be there Saturday night and come back Sunday morning, and it's Wisconsin week, so here we go. This is the home stretch. Like, you've got the last three games, and then boom, it's into signing day is early this year, if you recall, December 4th, I believe, and then the portal opens on the 9th. So like, this you got
Jeez.
three games left, but like the activity is only going to ramp up from there. It's going to be nuts.
Gosh, no kidding. How did the season go so fast? Like, it's just crazy.
God, it's depressing.
It's flying
Flies
by.
by.
It's doing two podcast episodes a week partially
That
makes it fly
might be
by.
part
I
of
think
it.
that's part of it.
That might be part of it.
Have you guys enjoyed it? Like, has it been a fun? I know it's been kind of up and down, but like,
Started off
have you guys
great.
enjoyed
Loved
it?
it. Started off fantastic.
The recaps after the losses can be a little difficult.
I would argue that sometimes they're a little entertaining because you get a different side of us instead of ro I feel like the losses can sometimes generate more content and more conversation.
I think, and I think that's true of a lot of well, I think a lot of Husker media. It's like, we've kind of talked about this too. Like, when things are going well, it's kind of like, we're good. Like, I don't need to listen to the press conference or read anybody or anything. When things kind of when the poop hits the fan, you're kind of like, okay, what the heck's going on here? I need to figure out what's going on here.
Shit, Ma. You can say shit.
Well, I dropped an F-bomb on the Veterans Day episode, so I'm trying to keep it clean here, Jeff.
First time ever on the Common Fan Podcast.
It
It's a
totally slipped out.
And
family
they
friendly
fought for your
program.
right to say it. So
That's
there
right.
you go.
That's
That's
right.
right.
That's right.
You're
We
damn right.
want, but we want the families out there to know the children can listen to this program. It's okay. It's okay.
Yes.
It's not a regular occurrence. Dang, I had a point. What were we just talking about? I had a point to make. Oh, season go by fast. I coming into like just doing this podcast in the first place, like one of our big things, Evan, to answer your question, was like, we don't want this to become a chore. Like, Nebraska football is something that we love. And so, like, if this is going to impact this thing that we love in a negative way, we don't want to do it. And that has not happened. And I
No.
think like it's been an awesome outlet almost to because we're having like Husker fans are having a lot of these conversations anyway. And so it's been awesome to like, have the podcast as like part of our and like see like we kind of have a core audience now. Like, people are watching and listening regularly. And so it's how they engage with this thing that we love as well. So all of that is like thoroughly fulfilling. But I do think it makes everything go by faster because it's not just recording for an hour. There's some prep work that goes into each episode, and then afterward, getting the episodes out, there's time and energy that goes into that. And then we've been doing some writing as well and all that. So it's all been, again, it's all been thoroughly enjoyable, but it does like it eats up a lot of, what very little free time. We all have kids and day jobs, and so it eats up the end of that free time, and that's fine. We've committed to doing it. It's great, but suddenly it's like there's only three games left in the season.
Yeah, crazy.
That's a
That's
great point.
also
Like, yeah.
why I'm desperate for a bowl game, because then we need one more game, right? Like,
Yep.
we need something to look forward to in December. We need one more game for the season, all of the above.
No, great point. You guys strike me as very passionate still. This is not a check the box sort of hour here. So no, that's great. That's a good sort of thing to fall back on. Are you still having fun? Because if you're not, what are you doing? So yeah, this is fun. This
Exactly.
was
How are we
fun.
doing here?
Please don't lump me and Matt in with Jeff, though.
What are we talking about? I'm passionate. I'm having a good time here.
Jeff's
I'm just
miserable.
I'm really sketched. I'm sketched out about this Holgorsen, this whole thing. There's something
Gotcha.
going on here. I can't get over it.
Well,
Jeff's
did you
probably the
see? I
most.
think
Jeff's.
you.
No, go ahead, Owens. Go ahead.
I think Jeff secretly wants Marcus Satterfield to stick around for as long as possible, is what I think, because he
What the
said
hell
that
is
on
your
our last
problem?
episode. He thought there's no way he's going anywhere.
Well, yeah, but,
and he still hasn't gone
he's
anywhere.
Still employed, is he not?
But I'd be very surprised if he's on staff next season.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what I. No, Jeff. Very often, Jeff is the most sane one of all of us because Maddie and I are a little more insane, sort of irrational Husker fans.
Of coolers,
right?
A lot of coolers.
Jeff.
Thank you. I mean, it's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
There you
you're
go.
Welcome. Yep. Absolutely.
Save that clip. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Hold on to that for the rest of my life.
Don't tell anyone I said that. all right. Well, this was just a thoroughly enjoyable. Speaking of enjoyable, this was a thoroughly enjoyable episode and conversation. Evan, great insight from Evan. Thanks as always for joining us. Get your Husker Extra subscription, Common fans. You can get, it's like $10 a month. You can subscribe to Husker Extra and you get the entire sports section, not just football, the entire sports section from both the World Herald and the Journal Star right at your fingertips. Okay.
It's a no-brainer.
The no-brainer. It helps feed the addiction. Everybody sign up, and you can read all of Evan's great stuff on Husker Extra. He didn't even ask us to do that. How about the promo, Evan? I'm sorry we waited. Sorry we waited to the end. But everyone sign up for Husker Extra. Help keep Evan employed over there at the newspaper.
Thanks. Yeah, organic, and for all the folks that listened all the way through, worth it.
For those 12 of you who are still listening.
Yeah. Get some socks.
They probably get some socks, sign up for Husker Extra, and they probably already have their World Herald.
You could read Evan's articles wearing Common Fan socks while you're grilling some certified Piedmontese beef. That would be a true Common Fan right there.
Putting
that challenge out there. Send us a photo of you doing that.
While scrolling through our website on your phone.
Yeah, you would get on the Common Fan Wall of Fame. I put a picture right back here.
And having a White Elm beer. Now we should be clear, White Elm is not a sponsor of ours, but they did donate a keg for
we'd be totally fine with them being an ongoing partner.
We love White Elm. We love White Elm.
I like free beer. So
yeah, exactly. All right, Common fans. Thanks for joining us. Everybody get geared up and ready to roll. We only got 3 games left. We're going to go get the W at USC. Heinrich Harburg, Kearney, Nebraska natives, going to run up and down that field, and those LA boys aren't going to know what hit them. Then Wisconsin's going to come to Lincoln. We're going to beat them. Then we're going to go to Iowa City and win that one. Suddenly we're going to be 8-4 and all will be right with the world. And Dana Holgerson's coming back in 2025. It's all happening.
Wow.
It's all,
you,
we're back.
I thought you were going to give us like
a Howard Dean.
Guy? Howard Dean?
We're going to USC.
I think everyone needs a break from politics for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Evan, thanks for joining us. Awesome to have you as always. Next episode for the Common Fans will be the Monday after the USC game. So who the hell knows what's going to happen between now and then? That's almost another week. So in Husker Nation, there could be all kinds of new developments between now and then. Hopefully one of them is a big red victory over the Trojans.
Love it.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Common Fans. In the meantime, we'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.